Today's daf is Erevin daf Yud Aleph. We left off in daf Yud Amud Beis. We are about halfway down the page in daf Yud Amud Beis at Tanan Hasan. We were discussing various ways to fix a Pesach that's more than 15 amos, and in that context, we were discussing Omid Murubala Parutz and Parutz Murubala Omid. So we're going to begin today by quoting a Mishnah that may relate to this topic of Omid Murubala Parutz and what counts in terms of combining different amudim, different parts of built-in area to be mashlim an area that's open. We're then going to get into whether Tzuras HaPesach works to allow carrying in a mavoi where the top beam is more than 20 amos high, and whether a structural reminder can work to permit a mavoi's opening is more than 10 amos wide, because we had the opposite in the Mishnah. We know the opposite works, that an amaltra works when it's too high, and that a Tzuras HaPesach works when it's too wide. What about the reverse? Does Tzuras HaPesach work for height and an amaltra work for width? The Gemara then raises the possibility that a space of larger than 10 amos may not be eligible for a Tzuras HaPesach, even with regard to separating different plants in a field to avoid Kilei HaKerem, and discusses what the source for that idea might be. And then the Gemara is going to give a lot of details about Tzuras HaPesach. We're going to discuss whether the Korah has to run over the side beams, or it can even come out from the sides of the side beams. Does it have to be on top, Al Gabehem? Whether the Korah has to touch the side posts, whether it has to be able to support a door, whether how structurally strong it has to be. And then if we get there, at the very end of the daf, the Mishnah is going to give three opinions about what is necessary to close off the fourth side of a mavoi that's surrounded by walls on three sides in order to allow carrying in the mavoi. So let's again pick up from Tanan Hasam. We are on Yudam Beis Tanan Hasam, about halfway down. Tanan Hasam, Ora Asla V'chol Shalom Mitzdarfin B'Tefach, that in order to create an Ohel for the sake of Tumah, let's say you have a Gezayis Min HaMeis underneath an Ohel, so you need a Tefach of height, but you also need a Tefach of Shetach of the Ohel. The Ohel needs to be a Tefach by a Tefach wide in order for it to constitute an Ohel. So what if you have a toilet seat that had a hole in the middle, but it has two strips of leather on either side? So the strips of leather could be mitzdarif with the hole in the middle to make up one full tefach in order to create an ohel for the sake of tumas hameis. So my or ha'asla, what exactly is the situation of an or ha'asla? Amr Rabba Barachan, Amr Yochanan, or kisui shel beis hakisei. So we're just translating that it means the or that covers the beis hakisei. The kama, how much is it? How large are the two side pieces, and how large is the hole in the middle that we say they could all combine to equal a tefach? Ki os Rav Dimi Omar etzba'ayim mikan ve'etzba'ayim mikan ve'etzba'ayim revach be'emtza, that you have a two etzba wide strip on either side and a two etzba wide opening in the middle. So a total of six etzba'os, which we're assuming now is going to be one tefach, even though six etzba'os sounds like more than a tefach, because normally we assume if you're using your thumb, so the tefach is the size of your fist with your thumb on top, but if you use the width of your thumb, roughly it's four etzba'os or five etzba'os, that would make six etzba'os would seem way too much, because the width of your other fingers are less than the width of your thumb, and you have the width of four fingers plus the height of your thumb, so normally four etzba'os would equal the size of a tefach. So we'll see why we're assuming six etzba'os now, but so he says you need two etzba'os on either side, and one and two etzba'os in the middle, and that equals the tefach for an ohel. That was Kiyasa Rav Dimi. Kiyasa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said a different idea. He said different measurements. Etzba mechza mikan, ve etzba mechza mikan, ve etzba revach beemtza. That you have a 1.5 etzba strip on either side, and a 1 etzba space in the middle, for a total of 4 etzbaos. That makes a lot more sense. 4 etzbaos equals a tefach. Sarmalei Abai Rav Dimi mi pligisu. So Abai says to Rav Dimi, do you guys argue on each other? It seems like you're saying different things. Amalei lo. He said, no, we don't argue about the size of a tefach. Haber Rav Ravta habezutrasa velo pligin. If you're surprised by the fact that I said a total of six tefachim and he said of six etzbaos rather, and he said a total of four etzbaos, we're talking about different size fingers. When I say six etzbaos, I'm talking about small fingers, the width of narrow fingers. When he says four etzbaos, he's talking about the width of a thumb, which is a much wider finger. So that's why it sounds like we're saying different measurements for what will equal a tefach, but we're really saying the same thing in terms of what will equal a tefach. So Amalei, la'ai, pligisu. But Abaye says, no, you do argue. You may not argue about the size of a tefach, but you're arguing about something. Because one of you said, two etzbos. And the other one said, 1.5 etzbos of omer on either side, and only 1 etzba of parut in the middle. So there's an argument there in terms of the ratio of, granted you're using different size etzbos, but the ratio of omer to parut is off. So amalei la'ay pligisu, uba omin meruba la parts mishtei ruchos pligisu, and I know exactly what you're arguing about. You're arguing about when you have omin meruba la parts from two different directions, meaning if the parts in the middle is larger than the omid on either side, or is as large as the omid on either side, but is not as large as the omid on both sides combined, so that's what you're arguing about. L'didach havi omid mishtei ruchos. According to you, it is omid mishtei ruchos, meaning you look at the omid from both sides, and as long as on both sides combined, it's more than the parutz, then you're okay. That's why you say two etzbaos is fine of empty space in the middle, even though each side piece is also only two etzbos, so you don't have omed merubah l'parutz miruach achas, from each direction, it's not more omed than it is parutz. It's only when you combine the two sides that you have more omed than you have parutz, and you say that's okay. L'ravin, miruach achas havi omed mishtei ruchas l'havi omed. And Ravin, who said that you have an etzbo mechtza on each side, and only one etzba of empty space in the middle, holds that you need omed merubah l'parutz, even from one side, that each side has to be more omed than parutz in order to say omed merubah l'parutz. That's why he has 1.5 etzbos of omed on each side and only 1 etzba of parutz in the middle. Because if you're really not arguing, so the Ravin Hachi by Lil Meimar, if Ravin wanted to come up with an example of how to have 4 etzbaos, so he should have had the same ratios as you. He just should have used different numbers. I mean, you say that you're using small etzbaos, so you say that it's a total of 6 etzbaos to make a tefach. So you say it's 2, 2, and 2. So he's going to assume 4 etzbaos makes a tefach. So he should have said etzba shlish mikan, etzba shlish mikan, etzba shlish. 1 1/3, 1 1/3, 1 1/3. Same ratios, and then he would have been saying the same thing as you. Why does he change it up and not say 1 1/3 on either? Why does he do 1.5, 1, and 1.5? Elmai pliginan. So he says. So Ravin says back. What? You think we're arguing? Then l'didi. You think we're arguing about what you say we're arguing about omen rubal parts mitanech or mishnei tzadim? Well, then l'didi hachi yibayli lemeimar. Then what I should have said is the following: etzba ushnei shlishim mikan veetzba ushnei shlishim mikan veetzba ayim ushnei shlishim revach b'emtza. If I really wanted a hold that as long as you have omen rubal parts mishnei ruchos, as long as in both when you combine both side pieces, you have more than the empty space in the middle, then I should have come up with a bigger chiddush. I should have given you a case where the middle space is larger, not the same size, larger. The middle empty space is larger than each of the side spaces, and it's only with the combination of the side spaces that they combine to be larger than the middle space. But I didn't do that. I came up with a case of 2, 2, and 2, where it's exactly the same size. The middle space is exactly the same size as each of the side spaces. So Eli Ika Lememer de Pluginon Biparitz Ki Omid Pluginon. So he says, I'll acknowledge in the end of the day that we're arguing, but we're not arguing about Omid Merubala parts Mishtei Ruchos. Rather, I'm arguing about when it's parts Ki Omid, whether that's enough. So that's where I say that parts Ki Omid would still be good, even if the Pirtza is the same size as each of the amudim on both sides, that would be good enough. But Einochinami, I also would agree that if the pirtza was larger than each one of the amudim on both sides, that would not be good. So at the end of the day, the Ravin said each strap is an etzba and a half wide with the space of an etzba in the middle. Rav Dimi said that each strap is two etzbos wide and a space of 2 etzbos in the middle. Rav Dimi denied that he argued with Ravin about Omid Merubah l'parutz mishtei ruchos, and rather he says that he argues with Ravin about Poritz ki'amud, when you have a gap equal to the size size of the walled portion, of the closed-off portion, whether that's considered to be closed off. Ravin would not consider it to be closed off. Rav Dimi would consider it to be closed off. Why don't we say Lavud over here? You're talking about very tiny amounts of airspace, so why don't we just say Lavud? So Pashtus says you don't say Lavud when you're not dealing with a mechitza. This isn't a mechitza. It's a kli that's besakise. So I don't think we say Lavud by kelim and by things that are not a mechitza. That would be I didn't see any discussion about it, but that's what I'm assuming is Pasha Alacha, that Lavud is a din in mechitzin. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Im yeshal tzuras ha-pesach, af b'sharach v'me'aser, eino tzarech l'mai. So we had said that when if there's a tzuras ha-pesach over an opening that's wider than 10 amos, it can make the mavoi permissible to carry in, even though you're normally not allowed to have an opening wider than 10 amos, tzuras ha-pesach will solve that problem. We also learned that an amaltera, if you have a structural reminder, something like the shape of a bird's nest, or we discussed maybe some long cedar poles that are on the top of the opening, then even if the opening is more than 20 amos high, even if the pesach is more than 20 amos high, the amaltera will work because it catches the eye. So you don't have to worry that it's more than 20 amos high. So essentially, what we've learned is two things: when you have a problem with the width of the doorway, tzuras ha-pesach works. When you have a problem with the height, an amaltera works. So what our Gemara is going to ask is, what about the reverse? Can an amaltera work for a width problem? Can a tzuras ha-pesach work for a height problem? So it says the Gemara, Im yeshal tzuras ha-pesach b'sharach me'aser ein tzarach l'mayit, ashkan tzuras ha-pesach d'mahanya b'rachbo, v'amaltera d'mahanya b'gavo. So we found that a tzuras ha-pesach works for width, amaltera works for height. Ipcha mai, what about the reverse? So tashma d'tanya mavui shu gavo me'aser ma'ami y'ma'it, v'im yeshal tzuras ha-pesach ein tzarach l'mayit. So here you have an explicit praisa that if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, that's going to work for a height problem. So says the Gemara, great, that answered one of our two questions. Amalta berachva mai. What though would the din be about an amalta working for a width problem? So Tashma says the Gemara will bring a raya. Detanya, we have another brisa. Mavui should gavo master mami yema'it. If you have a mavui that's more than 20 amos high, you have to lower it. Varachav me'eser yema'it. If it's too wide, more than 10 amos wide, you have to make it smaller. V'im yesh lo tzuras ha-pesach einu tzarech l'mayit. If it has a tzuras ha-pesach, you don't need to make it smaller. V'im yesh lo amaltera einu tzarech l'mayit. And if it has an amaltera, you don't need to make it smaller. So we started with two halachos, two types of problems. We started with a height problem was statement number one. Width problem was statement number two. Statement number three was that tzuras ha-pesach works. Statement number four is that amaltera works. So isn't amaltera going on both number one and number two? Both on a height and a width problem, and it's telling me that amaltera works. Says Gemara, lo aresha. You don't have any raya from there because maybe it's only going on the resha. Maybe it's only saying that amaltera works on a height problem, but that it's not going to work on a problem of width. So now the discussion of it, so the Gemara just leaves it unresolved whether an amaltera works on a width problem also. So that suffix seems to be nibay de lo ifshita in the Gemara, and therefore lends itself to machlokas rishonim. The Rashba quotes two deos over here. Some rishonim, the Rashba says, say that a maltera works even by a pesach that's more than 10 tefachim wide. Why would you paskin that way? The Gemara leaves it as a suffix. He says very simply, it's the requirement of that mechitza on the fourth side is not a requirement midaraisa, it's only a requirement midrabanan, because once it has three walls, it's good enough to be a Rishul Siyachid. So it's a Safik on a Din D'Rabbanan. Safik D'Rabbanan is the Hakel. So, and he says also, the Pashtus of the Braisa sounds that way. Now Shlomo writes, the Pashtus of the Braisa sounds that way because it says, Im Yeshal Tzuras HaPesach Einu Tzarech L'mayit. Sounds like that's going on the Seifa. That's why the Gemara originally assumed, May Lava Seifa, because that's the more Pashut reading of the Braisa. So yeah, the Gemara said, you could argue that it's going on the Reisha, so it's not a Raya Mukhrachas, but certainly it leans more in that direction. The other day of the Rashba quotes is that an amaltera is not matir when it's more than 10 amos wide, and the Rashba explains because since the very concept of mechitzos in a mavui is itself a din d'oraisa, so we have to be machmir even on the fourth wall as if it were a suffik d'oraisa, meaning even though once you have three walls, that fourth wall is only d'rabanan, but the very notion of requiring mechitzos in a mavui is a din d'oraisa. So we shouldn't view the fourth wall, the dinam of the fourth wall, as any different than the dinam of the the other walls, if it's going to be a wall, it's a wall. And the dinim of mechitzos in general are dinim daraisa. This gets into a much larger topic of how we view something as a, how we categorize what's considered a suffix daraisa, what's considered a suffix drabanan. Because over here, the concept of mechitzos is certainly daraisa. This particular application is drabanan. So according to this daya in Rishonim that the Rashba quotes, we would still view that as a suffix daraisa because we look at the broader concept and we don't look at the particular detail. The very concept, the very idea that it can possibly just be going on the Reisha doesn't seem to work so well into the Braisa. Just we pointed out the Braisa makes four statements, that if it's too high, you have to lower it. If it's too wide, you have to make it narrower. If it has a Tzuras HaPesach, not necessary. If it has an amaltara, not necessary. So the Masifta of your quotes from the Sefer Minchas Zikaron says, how could those Rishonim that say that an amaltara doesn't work for the width, how could you read that into this brisa, that it only works for the height? Meaning, if the structure of the whole brisa is completely off, because it starts off by saying, if it has an amaltra, that's only that would only go back on din number one, whereas statement number three in the brisa goes back on number one and number two, so it's completely off. Meaning, we have statement number one, statement number two, then statement number three goes back on both one and two, and statement number four goes back only on one? It's a very strangely structured brisa. If that's the case, that's the kasha that he points out. It just doesn't seem to work that well. What's the svara that an amaltra should be machshir a width problem, meaning that a tzuras pesach could be machshir a height problem? I understand if the old tzuras pesach becomes like a mechitza, so it could be machshir. It doesn't have to be nicker. It just it creates a mechitza. But what an amaltra is a hecker. So an amaltra, the problem with something that's more than 20 amos high is you're not going to see it. Amaltra helps. Now you'll be able to see it. But when something's too wide, it's not that it's not recognizable. When the opening is more than 10 amos, it's not a hecker problem. The problem is that it's not a Pesach, that it's no longer considered a Pesach. Now it's just a massive breach. Why doesn't a maltra work in that context? So the Bach in Simon Shin Samach Gimel sounds like he says that the suffix of the Gemara is what does an amaltra actually do when the height is more than 20 amos? Is it because everyone's going to look at it? So if that's the case, that it's just going to be nicker, that everyone's going to look at it, so then it should not work on an opening that's more than 10 amos wide, where the chisaron is not a chisaron of heker. So the fact that an amaltra makes it nicker is not going to help. Or no, maybe the reason amaltra works is because the amaltra gives it a shame Pesach. Maybe the fact that you have an amaltra on the top shows that you're designating this as a Pesach. If that's the case, then when it's more than 10 amos wide, where the problem is a problem that it's not a Pesach, so then the amaltra can give that a shame Pesach as well. One more point before we go on. The Rambam in the 17th parak of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yudalet writes, Avalim hayelo tzuras ha-Pesach, afilu hayu gavoa mea ama, opachos mea sara, o rach of mea ama, hareza mutter. That if you have a tzuras ha-Pesach, the tzuras ha-Pesach is matir, whether it's more than 20 amos high, whether it's more than 10 amos wide, so that, the Gemara said, that we're okay, but then he added one more case. Afilu, he said, even if it's gavoa mea ama, or pachos me asara. What's that about? If it's less than 10 tefachim tall, that a tzuras ha-Pesach is also going to help. The Gemara didn't mention anything about that. So the Rashba understands what the Ram is trying to tell us, is that a tzuras ha-Pesach is machshir mavoi, even when the tzuras ha-Pesach is less than 10 tefachim tall, meaning you have an open fourth side of a mavoi, the tzuras ha-Pesach itself does not need to be 10 tefachim tall. So the Rashba says, but that's crazy. Hechshir mavoi by tzuras ha-Pesach is, we only find when it's gavoa me'esrim amma, or when it's wider than 10 amos, because the tzuras ha-Pesach, why, what does it do? The tzuras ha-Pesach makes a mechitza. A mechitza needs to be 10 tefachim tall. So how can you have a tzuras ha-Pesach that's less than 10 tefachim tall? Why in the world would that work? A mechitza itself would not work. How could a tzuras ha-Pesach, which works midin mechitza, work better than an actual mechitza? An actual mechitza is only 10 tefachim tall. Tzuras ha-Pesach is going to be less than 10 tefachim tall. So the truth is, not all Rishonim understood that that's what the Rambam is saying. The Meiri understood the Rambam a little differently. He understood that the Rambam saying that if you have mechitzos of a mavoi that are less than 10 tefachim tall, if you put a tzuras ha-Pesach above them to reach a height of 10 tefachim, that would be matir, a mechitza that itself was less than 10 tefachim. Meaning, if you have a tzuras ha-Pesach and nothing underneath it, so the tzuras ha-Pesach could certainly serve as its own mechitza of 10 tefachim tall. But what if you have an 8 tefach high mechitza? Can you just build the tzuras ha-Pesach up on top of it for another 2 tefachim? That that that's what the Rambam is saying, that Tzuras HaPesach is going to be matir, a mechitza that itself was otherwise less than 10 tefachim. Meaning, one might have thought, o kulo mechitza, o kulo Tzuras HaPesach. You can either have mechitza of 10 tefachim, or you can have Tzuras HaPesach of 10 tefachim. But to be mitzdarif, the two of them, two different ways of being matir, to be mitzdarif in 8 tefach wall and 2 tefachim Tzuras HaPesach, one might have thought that that's no good, and that's the chiddush of the Rambam. That's how the Meiri understands it. Okay, says the Gemara Vayitim, Masir Rav Yudil L'chia Barav, Kamei Darav, Eino Tzorech L'mayit. So he said that Eino Tzorech L'mayit. So Amalei Asni Yotzorech L'mayit. He says, well, we learned that Tzorech L'mayit. Amar Rav Yosef, Medivra Abenu Nilman, Chatzar Sheruba Psachim, V'chalonos, Eino Nitaris B'tzorech HaPesach. If you have a chatzar that's surrounded mostly by openings and by windows, a Tzuras HaPesach will not help. My time, hol v'yosu me'eser osu b'mavui. Since we know the din, that in a mavui, if there's an opening of more than 10 amos, that's aser. Uparit mruba ala omeid osu b'chatzer. And we know that when you have more parit than you have omeid, that aser is in the chatzer. So we know those are the two problems. A mavui problem will be when you have yosu me'eser. A chatzer problem is when you have parit mruba ala omeid. So now, my yosu me'eser osu b'mavui einu nitar b'tzuras HaPesach. So if more than 10 amos wide will not be helped by a Tzuras HaPesach in a mavui, af paritz merubah la'omeid also b'chatzer einu nitar b'tzuras HaPesach. So that which poses a problem in a chatzer will not become mutter with the Tzuras HaPesach. Meaning, apparently, Tzuras HaPesach don't solve the big width problems. So by a mavui, the big width problem is more than 10 amos. Tzuras HaPesach won't solve it. So that's Rav's different version of the Mishnah. I mean, Rav's version of the Mishnah, it's Rav's Chiddush. Our version of the Mishnah is that it does help when it's more than 10 amos. But Rav's different version of the Mishnah has it that when it's more than 10 amos, Tzuras HaPesach does not work. So too, when you have Pirtzi Yeser Ala Omeid, it's also in a Chatzer, the Tzuras HaPesach will not work. Well, Mal Yosem Yeser Ha'osu B'mavoy, Shekin Lo Itartabo Etel Pasi Biros, the Rabbi Meir. Wait a second, maybe the reason that Pirtzi that's more than 10 amos, according to Rav, Tzuras HaPesach will not work by a mavoy is because we find that when something's more than 10 amos, it won't even work by pasi biraos, according to our mayor. Unlike the sheet that we said yesterday, pasi biraos has up until 13 and 3rd amos, it's actually machlokas tanaim. Our mayor holds that by pasi biraos, when you have those four partitions, the four corner partitions around the well, that the opening in between cannot be more than 10 amos. So, tomer partz meruba alomi rosu b'chatzer shekeni tarta itzel pasi biraos l'divrei hakol, but by pasi biraos we do find the parts Meruba Al-Omeid works. You have way more Pirtza than you have Omeid by Pasi Biros, and that's okay. So how can you bring a Raya that just because Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work for 10 Amos, it's not going to work for parts Meruba Al-Omeid? No, there are times that we're Mekil with parts Meruba Al-Omeid, and we're Machmir by more than 10 Amos, like Pasi Biros. We don't allow Pasi Biros to have more than 10 Amos, according to our mayor, and we do allow it to have parts Meruba Al-Omeid, even according to our mayor. So Lei Misayeli, Defanos mutter. These walls that are mostly windows and openings are mutter. As long as you have omin merubah parts. Sharuban salka daitach. What do you mean mostly? Eleima shariba behen psachim v'chalonos. That how could it be that it's mostly if it's omin merubah parts? Omin merubah parts means that it's mostly wall, that it's not mostly opening. So we're saying no. Eleima shariba behen psachim v'chalonos. It has a lot of openings and windows. Oblvachi omin merubah al parts, provided that at the end of the day you have at least 51% omeid to 49% parutz, that's going to be okay. Rav Kahana, Kitan Yehi B'Pischei Shimayi. So Rav Kahana says, yeah, but that's only with when do we need Omid Merubah L'Paretz? That's only by Pischei Shimayi, by things that are not a proper Pesach. My Pischei Shimayi, what do you mean a non-proper Pesach, a wacky Pesach? Pligi bar Rav Ruchumi v'Rav Yosef, Chara M'Deleslu Shikvi, V'Chara M'Deleslu Tikra. So one opinion says, well, it's not a proper Tzuras HaPesach because it doesn't have straight side posts. It doesn't have straight side. The Tzuras HaPesach, we're going to see it on bases. Kanamikan, al gabehem. Two side posts and something running across the top. But what if it's a jagged edged side post? So that's leslu shikvi. It's just the edges of bricks that stick out, that protrude out into the opening. And the other opinion says it has no tikra. It has nothing on top of it. That's what makes it a lack of a Tzuras HaPesach. That Leslie Tikra. And Rabbi Yochanan must agree with Rav. Again, Rav's Chiddush was that a Tzuris HaPesach doesn't even help for an opening that is too wide, does not help for an opening that's wider than 10 Amos. I mean, we started the daf by saying, we know for sure as a given that a Tzuris HaPesach helps when something is too wide, when it's more than 10 Amos. And our whole Shaila was, does it also work for something that's too high? And we said, yeah, it works for something that's too high also. Rav turned everything on its head. He said, no, your given is wrong. A Tzuris HaPesach does not work when something is too wide. So says the Gemara, Vaf Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan also agrees to Rav. How do I know that? Amar Ravin bar Ravada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maisa bad mechem ni Bikas Beis Chorasan. There was a guy from Bikas Beis Chorasan. He stuck down four poles in four corners of a field. He just he put four poles into the ground. Umatach zmura aleim, and he ran a vine across the top of the poles. Uba ma'aslof necham v'yitiru l'lin klayim, and the Cham saw that and they said, yeah, that's good enough for the isra of klayim. That's fine. Meaning it's a proper tzuris haPesach to create a mechitza between, let's say, vines on one side, grapevines on one side and wheat growing on the other side. It's not a problem with klayim. Vam Reish Lakish, Kederek Sheitir Lalin Klaim, Kachitir Lalin Shabbos. So Reish Lakish says, if that's a good enough mechitza for the halachas of Klaim, then it's going to be a good enough mechitza for the halachas of Shabbos as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Leklaim, Itir Lalin Shabbos, Lo Itir Lalin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's good enough for Klaim, but not for Shabbos. So B'mayaskinan, what's the case where Rabbi Yochanan thought that Tzuris HaPesach is no good for Shabbos? Again, keep in mind what we're trying to prove. We're trying to prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav, that when the opening is more than 10 amos wide, Tzuris HaPesach will not help you. So here we have a case of a Tzuris HaPesach that Rabbi Yochanan said is no good for Shabbos. What's the case? If the Tzuris HaPesach was not built properly, meaning it was built minatzad where the top crossbeam didn't rest on top of the two side poles, it came out from the sides of the side poles, well then that's not even a discussion, that can't work for anything. That's simply not a Tzuris HaPesach. And so that can't be what we're talking about. Ela al gaban. It must be that we're talking about the Tzuris HaPesach that's built with the kanamikan, the kanamikan, the kan al gabehem. It's built normally. Ubimai. So what's the case? Ilema be'eser, bahalema Rabbi Yochanan b'Shabbos lo. If it's 10 amos or less, Rabbi Yochanan would say that that doesn't work for Hilcha Shabbos. A 10 amo or less opening that has a Tzuris HaPesach, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that's a problem. Elalav b'yeser me'eser. So obviously we're dealing with an opening that's more than 10 amos, and what do you see? That Rabbi Yochanan holds that even though it has a Tzuris HaPesach, it's not going to help Le'inyan Shabbos because it's more than 10 amos, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav. So there you have it. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav. Says Marlo, Le'olam b'eser, u'minat sad. No, really, maybe the case was that it was 10 amos or less, and the case was that it was structurally a bad Tzuris HaPesach. The top pole came out from the sides of the side poles rather than over the top of the side poles. And the whole machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is whether we in fact hold, like Rav Chista, that you need the Tzuris HaPesach to be made up of two side poles and a top pole that goes over the side poles. Or maybe it's even good enough, Reish Lakish would hold it's even good enough if the top pole comes out from the side of the side poles. That's the whole machlokas. Now, the lashon of Rashi is interesting over here. When he discusses the shita of Rav Chista minatzad. If you look at Rashi, the Rashi minatzad, he says shematach azmor mizeh lozeh beemtzaiso velo al rashehen. What does minatzad mean? That the vine that was running across from one pole to the other was in the middle of the two poles, not on top of the two poles. Now, how would you have said it if you were talking about where it comes out min atzad? Would you have said in the middle, or you would just say it's not running on top, it's coming out from the sides of the poles rather than on top? Why did it say be'emtzi'iso? Be'emtzi'iso makes it sound like it's very low down. That if the pole is 20 tefachim high, this is coming out at the 10 tefach mark of the poles, that it's mamish be'emtza. What if it comes out at the very, very top, where it's flush against the top of the pole, but it's just not over the side poles? It's coming out from the very side, from the side of the very top of the poles. So the Ritva and the Ran say that when Rashi says that it's be'em to Isan, it's lav dafka. He means even if the zmar is samuch l'rosham, it's still considered minatzad as long as it's not al gabehen. However, the Taz in Siman Shin Samach Vei Siv Katan Dalet writes that Rashi was very careful with his Lashon. When he said Bamtisan, he's teaching us that it's only a problem when the two mezuzos rise up above the zmora that's running across the top of them. The two side posts are at a higher height than the kanal gabeim, the kanal that's supposed to be the kanal gabeim, the zmora that runs across the top of them. But if they're at the same height, then it would be kosher, says the Taz. Meaning, if the post that runs across the top is the same height as the side poles, meaning it does come out of the sides of them, doesn't run on top of them, it's at the same height, the Taz holds that would be good. According to Rashi, that's why Rashi Dafka says Be'emtza Isan. That's a Gevaldika Chiddush that the Taz has, generally speaking, not accepted the halacha, but that's the Chiddush of the Taz. Says the Gemara Vayter now. V'rami d'Rabbi Yochanan d'Rabbi Yochanan, v'rami d'Reish Lakish d'Reish Lakish. We cast a stir in Rabbi Yochanan and stir in Reish Lakish. Why? Dam Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Chanina. Reish Lakish says B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Chanina. Peh mutaris li neklayim avalol l'Shabbos. If you have a vine running from one pole to the other, so that works for Klayim, it doesn't work for Shabbos. Now remember, Reish Lakish was one who said it works for both Klayim and Shabbos. Now he's saying it doesn't work for Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kimechitos l'Shabbos, Delo, Kach Mechitos l'Klayim, Delo. That just like by Shabbos it's not a good Mechitza, for Klayim it's also not a good Mechitza. Rabbi Yochanan previously said that for Klayim it's a good Mechitza, just not for Shabbos. Now he's saying it's neither, it's not a good Mechitza for a Shabbos or for Klayim. So says Bishlam Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish Lokasha Hadidei Hadarabe. The Reish Lakish problem is not such a problem because this second statement of Reish Lakish, we specifically point out that he said Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chanina. He was saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chanina. He himself disagrees with that. He himself would hold that it works for Klayim and for Shabbos. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chanina, he holds that it only works for Klayim but not for Shabbos. So that's not a problem. El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but the stira in Rabbi Yochanan is still very real. The first statement of Rabbi Yochanan was that such a tzuras haPesach works for Klayim. Second statement of Rabbi Yochanan was that it doesn't work for Klayim. That's a real stira. So if you could just simply say that the difference is whether it was al gaban or minat sad, that when these mora runs on top of them, so then that will work for Klayim. That was the original statement that it was running on top of them, and this statement where Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't work is where it comes out minat sad, so then everything will be great. But then, if you're saying that, then we're back to assuming that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav. Right, that why doesn't it work for Shabbos? It's structurally perfect. It must be because it's more than 10 amos, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav. So if Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav, that would work out great. But if both cases are talking about where there's a structural problem with this Tzuras HaPesach, namely that the beam, that the cross beam, comes out minatzad rather than resting on top of the side post, so then we're back to the stira in Rabbi Yochanan. Does this work for Klayim or does it not work for Klayim? So li'olam idividi minatzad. No, it's talking about where there's a structural problem. It comes out minatzad, and therefore it never works for Shabbos. For Klayim, it can work only if it's less than 10 amos. If it's more than a 10 amos gap, it's not even going to work for Klayim. That's Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. Where do we ever find that with regard to the halachas of Klayim, that 10 amos makes a difference? In Shabbos, we find the pirtza of more than 10 amos makes a difference, and it's no longer a Pesach. Where do we find such a din in Hilchas Klayim? Tamle Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, lo kach le'yamaisa, shalach Rabbi Shua etzor Rabbi Yochanan Menuri l'ma Torah. One time Rabbi Shua went to Rabbi Yochanan Menuri to learn, aval pi shabaki b'ilchas Klayim, matzo shi yoshev, even though he's a baki in Hilchas Klayim, umatzo shi yoshev b'in eilonos, and he found that he was sitting amongst the trees, umatach zmora me'ilon le'ilon, and he extended a vine from one tree to the other. Vamelo Rebbe, igifanim kan mal lizroa kan. And he asked the shayla, you have a tzuras haPesach here. If you had vines on one side, would you be allowed to plant other things on the other side of this tzuras haPesach? Amar lo, that Eser Mutter B'Yosem Eser Aser. Up until 10 Amos, it would be Mutter, but if it's more than 10 Amos, it's Aser. So Mayaskinon, Ile Mal Gabon Yosem Eser Aser, if there was a properly fashioned source of Pesach where the crossbeam was actually on top, so why would he tell them that if it was more than 10 Amos, it's Aser? V'atanya Hayisham Kanim Hadu Kranin Vaslan Peyam Ilamala Afil B'Yosem Eser Mutter. The halach is that a Tzuras HaPesach works for Klaim even when it's more than Eser Amos. El Alav Min Atzad. It must be that it's a Tzuras HaPesach that's structurally flawed. The crossbeam comes out from the sides rather than over the top. V'kamar Leh. And he said, yeah, in that case, Be'Eser Mutter Yosem Eser Aser Shema Minah. So that must be the Pshat in Rabbi Yochanan also, that when Rabbi Yochanan says the Tzuras HaPesach works for Klaim, he's talking about a Tzuras HaPesach where it comes out Min Atzad, but it's covering an area of less than 10 amos. When he says it doesn't work for Klaim, he's talking about where it comes out Minatzad and it covers an area that's more than 10 amos. So only if you have Tarti L'Reyusa, it's going to be a problem by Klaim. It has to be that it's that the crossbeam is not on top, it's Minatzad, and it's covering an area of more than 10 amos. If it's either on top, or it covers an area of less than 10 amos, then it's going to be good enough, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Good. Gufa. Am Rav Chisda. Tzuras HaPesach she'asah min atzad, lo asah v'lo klum. If you have a Tzuras HaPesach min atzad, worthless in Hilcha Shabbos. V'am Rav Chisda. Tzuras HaPesach she'amru, second statement Rav Chisda about a Tzuras HaPesach, tzricha she'te bria k'dei lahamid ba'deles. It needs to be strong enough to hold a door. V'afilu delas shel kashin. Doesn't need to be the strongest door in the world. It could even be a door made out of straw, but it needs to be strong enough to hold the door in order for it to be considered a Tzuras HaPesach. So, actually, before we get to Reish Lakish, just another statement about Tzuras HaPesach. Before we get to Reish Lakish, just this idea that it has to be strong enough to hold the door. Some of the Rishonim are bothered why it is that a Korah has a different din than a Tzuras HaPesach when it comes to the relative strength of the Korah. What did we say the Korah has to be? Kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be wide enough and strong enough to be able to hold a brick on top of it. Tzuras HaPesach is not a din of holding a brick, it's a din of being able to hold a door that's dela shel kash, that's made out of straw. The Rishonim assume, the Meiri assumes that to hold a straw door is you don't need to be nearly as strong as something that would be necessary as the strength necessary to hold a brick. And he wants to know why the difference. So the Meiri explains that there's a difference between a korah, which serves as a hecker for the Bnei Amavoy, where the Chum give a shear, but a Tzuras HaPesach, which just serves as a mechitza, it doesn't need as much of a hecker, so the width does not have to be wide enough to hold a brick, because there's no point, the width is not important, since it's not about the hecker, it's more about just creating a mechitza through a Tzuras HaPesach. Also, the discussion of the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim assume that when we talk about that it has to be strong enough to hold a door, so what has to be strong enough? The poles or the crossbeam on top has to be strong enough to support a door? So they say that the Kana Mikana Mikan and the Kana Al-Gabeya, many Rishonim hold, need to be strong enough to at least hold a Dela Shalkash, a straw door. However, the Rivash writes that it's only in the Chuvas Rivash Simon Tafei, writes that only the Kanim on the Tzadim need to be strong enough to be Makabal Delas, but the Kana Al-Gabam does not need to be so strong, and that would work even if it's a kol shuhu, even gemi, even if it's a string, and that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. That's why when we put up side posts for Tzuras HaPesach, when we make an eruv, the poles themselves have to be made out of wood or something like that. But the string that runs across is a string; it's not going to be able to support a door. But that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Samach Beis Seif Yud Aleph. Weiter in the Gemara. Now another din about Tzuras HaPesach. Amrei Shlakish Mishum Rabbi Yanai Tzuras HaPesach Tzricha Heker Tzir. A Tzuras HaPesach needs a Heker Tzir. So what is a Heker Tzir? My Heker Tzir. Amrei Vavya Avkisa. A pivot in the ground, like a hole in the ground where the door could pivot on something. So you don't actually need the door there, but you need at least a Heker Tzir. Ashkechinu Ravacha Brei De Ravavya L'Tamidi De Ravashi. Amr Luhu Amr Mar Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach. Said, did you say anything about Tzuras HaPesach? Amr Leh Lom Rav Lo Klum. No, he didn't say anything about Tzuras HaPesach. Strange conversation. Tana, why would the Gemara record that? So, did you hear anything in Shir today? No? Okay, fine. Tana, Tzuras HaPesach Shamru, Kana Mikan, V'Kana Mikan, V'Kana Al Gabeihen. A Tzuras HaPesach has to be Kana Mikan, V'Kana Mikan, V'Kana Al Gabeihen. You need two side poles and a pole running across the top. So the Gemara wants to know, good, we know that. Srich L'Niga or ain't Srich L'Niga? Do the two side poles have to touch the top pole? So Rav Nachman Amar ain't Srich L'Niga. Rav Nachman says it doesn't have to touch, as long as the top pole is higher than the side ones. Rav Shesh Samar Srich L'Niga does have to touch. Also, Rav Nachman Vavaruvda Beireish Kalusa Kishmaite. So Rav Nachman built a Tzuras HaPesach in accordance with his shita that it doesn't have to touch. Amalei Rav Sheshes Lashame. So Rav Sheshes said to Hashamish Rav Gada, Zil Shlov Shadinu. Go take down his Tzuras HaPesach. Go knock down his Erev because it's a bad Erev. Also, Shlov Shadinu. So he went and he knocked on the Erev. Ashkachu de Beireish Kalusa Chavshu. The Reish Kalusa caught him and they imprisoned him. They caught him knocking down an Erev, vandalizing Rav Nachman's Erev. So they threw him in jail. Also Rav Sheshes come above us. Rav Sheshes came by the door of the prison. Amalei Gada Pukta. He said, Gada, come on out. Nafak Vasas. They let him out because Rav Sheshes bailed him out. So they let him out of jail. Ashke Rav Sheshes, Rav Bar Shmuel. Amalei Tani Mar Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach. Rav Sheshes ran into Rav Bar Shmuel. He says, have you heard anything about Dinam of Tzuras HaPesach? Amalei In. He said, yeah, I learned the following. Tanina, Kipa Rav Meir Mechayev B'Mezuzah V'Chom Potrin. Tzuras HaPesach also plays a role in the halachas of Mezuzah. You could have an opening in a wall, but it may not be a Tzuras HaPesach for the halachas of mezuzah. So what if you have an arched opening? So Rameir says it's chayiv mezuzah, Chum says it's pater mezuzah. Now, what exactly is the case where Rameir and the Chum argue about an archway? V'shavin shem yesh bragla'a sarah shi chayiv. Everyone agrees that if you have 10 tfachim of height with 4 tfachim of width before it starts arching, then everyone agrees that's for sure fine. Amar Abaya Kol, or even 10 tfachim of height with 4 tfachim of width at any point, when you get to 10 tfachim high, it's 4 tfachim wide, everyone agrees that's chayiv mezuzah. Amar Abaye Kol Modim Im Gova Asara Ve'in Bragla Shlosha, and everyone would also agree that if it doesn't have the first 3 tefachim, by the time you get 3 tefachim off the ground, it's not yet 4 tefachim wide. Inamri Yesh Bragla Shlosha Ve'in Gova Asara, or if it is 4 tefachim wide when you're within 3 tefachim of the ground, but it doesn't get to 10 tefachim high, V'lo Klum. Everyone agrees that that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. If it doesn't reach a height of 10 tefachim, or it doesn't have at least 4 tefachim of width for the first 3 tefachim off the ground, for the first 3 tefachim of height, everyone agrees that's definitely no good. Ki pligi, what's the al-machlokes? B'yesh bragla gimel v'gova asara, it has a height of 10 tefachim in total. For the first 3 tefachim off the ground, it's 4 tefachim wide as well. It just narrows after the first 3 tefachim. So ve'ein rechava arba. But when it reaches the 10 tefachim of height, it's no longer 4 tefachim wide. But if you were to hollow out the area, you'd be able to hollow out a 10 tefach by 4 tefach opening. So Rameir Savar Chokik in the Hashlim. Rameir says we could view it as if it's hollowed out and therefore it's like a regular Tzuras HaPesach. Rabbanan Savri ain't Chokik in the Hashlim. And the Rabbanan hold that we're not Chokik in the Hashlim. That we would not pretend as if it were hollowed out and created a proper Tzuras HaPesach. So that was the Chiddush that he told Rabbi Chiya. So again, this started with that he told Rav Sheshes. So this started with the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, where Rav Nachman had said that the side posts don't need to reach the top post, and Rav Sheshes said they do need to reach the top post. Then Rav Sheshes runs into Rabba Bar Shmuel, and Rabba Bar Shmuel says, oh, I just learned a Gvaldika Kula about Tzuras HaPesach, that Rav Meir, I'm sorry, a Gvaldika Machlokas about Tzuras HaPesach, that Rav Meir holds Chok in Lashem, and Rabban and say, Ein Chok in Lashem. So Amalei, do me a favor. If you run into the Reish Galusa, don't tell them anything about this this teaching that you have about the arched doorway. That's that won't look good for me. Because apparently, if you're going to start teaching them about various kulas that you have in terms of a Tzuras HaPesach, then even though it doesn't seem that they have anything to do with each other, what does one kula have anything to do with the other? But don't go around teaching them kulas about Tzuras HaPesach, that sometimes at an archway would be good enough, because I don't want them knowing all of these various kulas about Tzuras HaPesach. It's not going to look good for me to have all these kulas. Now going back to Kanami Kan, Kanami Kan, Kan Al Gabeim, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Tzuras HaPesach, Pesach, Shulchan Aruch and some Shin Samach Beis, that a Tzuras HaPesach is defined by Kanamikan Kan Al Gabeim, like the Gemara says. Magen Avraham over there says, even if Echad Mehem is Gavoa Mechavero, he actually says Gasa Mechavero. Rabbi Kivega writes, he doesn't mean Gasa, he means Gavoa Mechavero, meaning two side poles, one of them is up here, the other one's down here, and then you have a Kan Al Gabeim running not evenly, it runs on an angle, says Magen Avraham, that's good enough. Rabbi Kivega, though, is not sure, what if it's very slanted, meaning it doesn't have to be exactly even. The two poles don't have to be exactly the same height, so that the cross, the string that runs across, should be perfectly even. But what if it's very, very slanted? So at what point do we say that it has a din like a piskri shimai, like we learned on Amud Aleph, a very messed up look for a Tzuras HaPesach? From the Chazon Ish in Siman Ayin Aleph, sounds like any time it's not nikar shipuo. As long as it's you don't look at it and say, "Well, that's off, that's slanted," so that's going to be kosher. You don't need to use any sort of sophisticated equipment to measure if it's exactly even. You could just look at it by the naked eye and see if it appears to be even or not. How do we pass on the machlokas of Nachman over here in Shesha? So the many Rishonim passing like Rav Nachman because the Kana Elyon does not need to touch the two side poles. Because the Brisa seems to be that way, that the Shara Asui Mikipa, you don't need the Kana Elyon to reach the Kana Shebet Stadim. That's the connection between the Kipa and the case that we had before, is that the top beam doesn't actually touch the poles on the side. The Balamara, however, passes like Rav Sheshes. Okay, we'll have to leave it at there. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.